It's really going to be a challenge for Governor Hochul to turn those numbers around.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, the New York State Index of Consumer Sentiment and the fall elections, as reflected in the Siena College Research Institute poll. Well, the New York State Index of Consumer Sentiment now stands at 75.9, basically the break-even point at which pessimism and optimism are balanced. Consumer sentiment is unchanged from the second quarter of the year. The national index increased by nearly 2 points this quarter, but remains 6 points below break-even. For a breakdown of what that means in New York and in November's elections, we called up Dr. Don Levy, director of the Siena College Research Institute.
What we're really measuring is the mood of New Yorkers towards the economy and their underlying willingness to spend. So the index both looks at it's both a leading and a lagging indicator insofar as we ask people, are you better off today than you were a year ago? Do you think this is a good time to buy major items? And then we ask them to look towards the future. Do you think that they personally, that their personal financial situation is likely to improve or worsen over the coming year? And then we ask them to be economists. You know, what do they think about the overall economy in New York State over the coming year? And then we ask them even to have a wider lens and look towards a 4 or 5 year future. So the index has been repeated in this same fashion here in New York State by the Siena College Research Institute for over 20 years. We've been doing it since 1999. And the national index has been repeated in this fashion going back all the way back to 1950. So we have a tremendous amount of trend line data. And that gives us a sense of whether the movement of the mood, the economic mood of New Yorkers is moving up or down. This break-even point is a statistical measurement of when optimism and pessimism are balanced. So the magic number is right around 76. And when the index hits 76, you know, that's a good indication that people are feeling okay, that they're not overly pessimistic. And that's where we are today. Some perspective, you know, during the Great Recession, we saw index numbers down in the right around 50. That was a cause for alarm. During some periods where we've had a robust economy, the index has reached as high as nearly 100. And we see significant differences depending on who you are. So for right now, interestingly, it's not just the New Yorkers earning the greatest amount of income. Their index is higher. But Democrats are far more optimistic and positive about the economy than our Republican friends. Although this quarter, we do note that the index amongst Republicans went up about 5 points. So while Republicans now are more pessimistic than optimistic, Democrats more optimistic than pessimism, but the mood amongst Republicans has risen.
Now, how does this quarter's report compare to the national numbers?
Right now, we saw improvement in the national numbers, but New York State remains well above the nation. So we're about 5 or 6 points overall above the national mood in each of the indicators, whether it's the overall index, the current, or the future. So New Yorkers, driven overwhelmingly by Metro New York City, as well as I pointed out, Democrats. You have to remember, of course, that New York State has about 2 Democrats for every 1 Republican. So when the mood amongst Democrats in a state like New York is enhanced, that improves the overall consumer sentiment. Now, I have to say, though, that New Yorkers remain, despite this sense that the economy is okay, frustrated. And what are they frustrated about? You know, that really falls to prices. Inflation, although statistically down, remains an overwhelming concern for the everyday buying needs of New Yorkers. So when we ask folks about food, for example, is food, grocery bill, is that something that is seriously impacting your monthly spending. We're sitting at now at 78%. So nearly 8 out of every 10 New Yorkers say, yes, what I pay at the grocery store is a cause for concern. That's up 3 points from where it was last quarter. And really, we've been hovering between 75 and 80% of New Yorkers worried about the impact of food prices now for several years. Housing costs, we saw that jump up this quarter. 71% say that housing costs are seriously impacting their budget. So we have this interesting moment in time where, when in other surveys we ask New Yorkers or Americans to rate the overall state of the economy, and close to 80% rated as only fair or poor, when we add in this consumer sentiment report, we allow them to think about their personal position, they are more optimistic, hitting this break-even point. But what's really, really taking a toll is this continuing hurdle that New Yorkers, that Americans face when they go to buy food, when they go to pay their monthly housing costs, and to a lesser extent, gasoline. That's down now to about 52% of all New Yorkers saying that what they pay at the pump is seriously impacting them. But prices, prices, prices are what are holding consumer sentiment down to only this break-even point. If we saw some relief to some of these price concerns over the next quarter or series of quarters, we would anticipate that consumer sentiment would rise above this break-even point, you know, which would be an indication that we have a far more dynamic and robust overall economy.
What are the changes between regions of New York State? Because obviously we know there are a lot of differences between living upstate and living in the New York City area.
Well, sure. When we look at upstate, for example, the index is lower than it is in the New York City metro area. But still, while below this break-even point, the overall score in upstate is about 72, so about 4 points under this break-even point. But still, it's notable that even upstate, we hit this break-even point when we ask specifically about the future. So while the sentiment of upstaters lags behind the sentiment of New York City metro New Yorkers, we still see a sense upstate that there's a belief that the future is going to improve over the next year, over the next 4 years, but probably more importantly, their personal finances. So there is a continuing sense across all regions, New York City more so, but in upstate, that I think that I personally, my family personally, is going to be doing better a year from today than I am right now.
So let's talk about the context into which this poll was released, and that is we're just a few weeks away from this seismic election. And obviously, in polls conducted by Siena and other places, as you note, the economy is one of the top things that voters are concerned about in November's election. Siena has been doing some swing state polling as well as its regular New York poll. What trends stick out to you right now, Dr. Levy?
Well, if you're speaking specifically about the economy, we continue to see that there's a frustration with the economy. And I think as we've been talking, that frustration surrounds the cost of living. The economy, the cost of living continues to be the number one issue, whether it's in New York or in other states that voters bring up. And I think this survey, the Index of Consumer Sentiment, points to the fact that there's a great number of Americans who say, somehow, some way, I'm doing okay, but I still think the economy is in trouble. Those voters are the ones who actually are going to decide the election. Voters who tell us that they think the economy is strong and their personal condition is good tend to say that they're going to vote Democratic. Those voters who say both that they think the overall economy is in trouble and that their personal situation is problematic say that they are much more likely to vote for Donald Trump. So these voters, and I think we've identified some of them here in New York, that are able to look us in the eye over the phone and say that I think the economy is in trouble. I think prices are too high. But you know what? I and my family are doing okay, and I think my future is okay, is brighter. Those are the voters and they make up overall across the country about one in every four voters. They're the ones who are going to decide the election. If the question is more, what do we see on the horizon for the election? Clearly, at Siena, we have focused on the seven battleground states. Those states are incredibly close. And polling in this election is really closer than in any of the elections that we have seen over this century. And it really comes down to a handful of voters in a handful of states. And clearly the economy is important, but other issues like abortion, the future of democracy, and immigration are weighing heavily on voters' decisions. We feel as though there are really only about 10 to 15% of voters who either haven't made up their mind or could switch at this point. Equally as important as those voters making up their mind is turnout. I think over this last 5 weeks, 4.5 weeks, that's what we're going to start to talk about is turnout, turnout, turnout. Are young people going to turn out? Are white voters without a college education going to turn out at rates above where they were, let's say, in 2020? So it's going to be a very close election decided ultimately by these handful of swing voters and turnout among some demographic groups.
Now, Trump has contended lately that polls traditionally under-measure his support. Is there truth to that?
There's certainly some truth to that when you came to 2020. If you look at, as we did, not only New York Times Siena polls, but polls across about a dozen reputable pollsters, their last polls in the 2020 cycle, overwhelmingly there was a tendency to overstate Biden's support relative to Trump's by about 3 to 5 points. Why did that happen? Our analysis says that what occurred is in areas that Trump carried dramatically, central Pennsylvania, for example, where ultimately Trump carried that region by about almost 50 points, polling tended to say that he was going to carry it by maybe 15 points less than that, 35 points. We saw that there was a tendency amongst ardent Trump supporters to be less inclined to respond to polls, whether those polls were by phone, on the web, or any other way that that data was collected. Fast forward to today, certainly we have taken efforts in how we contact voters, who we contact, and also given the recognition that we know in what areas the greatest error occurred, to concentrate on those areas to make sure that we have a representative sample of voters who are inclined to vote for Donald Trump. So are we going to be perfect? Time will tell. But clearly there was in 2020 a tendency. I will point out that in 2022, our polling was incredibly accurate. If you want to get down in the weeds, we've done a couple of things. One specific that people find interesting is that we now count in our polls voters who we speak to who partially complete the survey. So we ask them right up front who they're going to vote for. And in some cases, you know, they will terminate the interview at that point. We know enough about them demographically to include them in our computation. So those partial voters who, if we had counted them in 2020, would have moved our needle about a point and a half in Trump's direction, are now part of the voters that we count in our surveys. Secondarily, we have taken our sample, and we are even more careful than we have ever been before to seek to include voters that we model in our sample to be likely voters for a Republican ticket to up the chances that they will be included ultimately in the polling. So, you know, those are two things that we have done. And at present, it does appear that our polling is riding almost at break even. We were just out in states like Michigan, Wisconsin, where we had the race virtually tied at this point.
So forgive me for this, but there's also an election coming up in 2026. I want to wrap up by asking you about Governor Kathy Hochul's numbers in the Siena poll, which have been very poor of late. Have you seen a governor in New York poll where Governor Hochul has been lately and turn it around?
It's really going to be a challenge for Governor Hochul to turn those numbers around. That said, we continue to be a state where there are two Democrats for every Republican. I think where the governor is suffering right now is a growing number of Democrats view her unfavorably. A growing number of Democrats say that they don't think they're impressed with the job that she is doing. I think that ultimately what we're looking at is a situation where after we finish with the 2024 election and we turn the corner to the new year of 2025, it's almost at that point that the next gubernatorial race is going to start. A key question for Democrats and for Governor Hochul is whether or not she's going to be challenged within her own party. We don't know that yet. If she is, that's going to change the complexion of the race. That would be a not unprecedented, but a surprising event if a sitting Democratic governor were challenged here in New York for the nomination. Right now, it looks as though she is certainly vulnerable in our polling, and we've seen some corroboration with some other polling that was released just this week, that Governor Hochul's approval ratings, her favorability, the degree to which she's doing a job that New Yorkers think is helping them, are all in question across the state of New York right now.
Dr. Don Levy is director of the Siena College Research Institute. Thanks as always for your time and insights.
Absolutely.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.